The following episode of How Did This Get Made is sponsored by LegalZoom. They're helping keep the show free. If you go to LegalZoom.com and enter the code EARWOLF, you'll get a discount and 100% of what you spend there comes directly back to the show. LegalZoom is the best place to help with your legal needs. They're not a law firm, but they provide self-help services at your direction. For more information on how to support this show and the rest of the EARWOLF podcast network, go to EARWOLF.com/insider.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. Welcome to the fifth episode of How Did This Get Made, the podcast where we try to make sense of the movies that make no sense. I am Paul Scheer. You might know me as Andre on the TV show The League, or as JWoww from the Jersey Shore. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas, who you also might recognize from The League as Rafi.
How are you?
Good. And, of course, June Diane Raphael, who you've seen on Flight of the Conchords and then Party Down. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul.
But now you know, we love crappy movies, especially the ones with huge budgets, big stars, and even bigger plot holes. Now, this episode, we revisit an old friend who is a master of making films that make you ask the question, how did this get made? The one, the only, Nick Cage, in his latest film, Drive Angry, Shot in 3D. That is the full title, Shot in 3D. According to the poster, it is from the visionary, in quotes, director of My Bloody Valentine.
I didn't notice that. That's amazing.
Like, people were making comparisons between Gondry and Kubrick after My Bloody Valentine. It's a real visionary, this guy. He made a pickaxe come at you in 3D. Let's see here. Okay, so I kind of like this movie. It was kind of like Diet Crank.
I fucking loved this
movie. It
was
great, right? It was pretty good. I like, how would you describe the movie? Nick Cage escapes from hell in a sweet-ass ride. Yes, he escapes in a 70s muscle car.
Nothing that this movie teaches us that there isn't another muscle car wherever you need one. Like, if your car blows up, trust me, you're within 100 yards of a muscle car.
And he comes back to Earth to hunt down the leader of a devil-worshipping group that has killed his daughter and kidnapped his granddaughter, all while being chased by Satan's accountant, who's trying to bring him back to hell. And also on this journey of retribution, Cage is joined by a feisty waitress who has some anger issues of her own and wears shorts so short they make Daisy Dukes look long. And it really is the best movie ever made. It's very hard to find any clips of this movie, so this is just a little taste of the trailer.
They kidnapped my daughter. I am going to get her back.
I'm with you until the end.
He's no saint. She's no angel.
I am going to kill you.
Between now and then, I'm gonna mess you up.
On February 25th.
Looking for someone angry with attitude?
They'll show no mercy.
You can't stop me.
Drive Angry, shot in 3D. Rated R. In theaters February 25th.
It's amazing. This movie is like a Charlie Sheen fever dream. There are guns, tattoos, fucking muscle cars, decapitations, and beautiful women.
And what's amazing about it to me is, like, it would be a normal movie 100% if it wasn't for the fact that he's escaped from hell.
Yes.
That's the part. And they pay so little attention to the fact that he escaped from hell that I was like, why even have that be part of this?
It was revealed as if we didn't know when the minute we got in there. Here to help us make sense of this movie is our friend. You've seen him on Adult Swim and the show Fat Guy Stuck in Internet. He's written for the Onion News Network. Please welcome Curtis Gwynn.
Hi.
Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So let's just start off. 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. Clearly the highest of any movie we've ever done.
Oh, yeah. And deservedly so.
Wow. It was awesome. Where our expectations met, exceeded, where... So I know that, Curtis, you did not love it. Or did you?
No, I did not love Drive Angry 3D. You know...
It's okay. You can say that. You can say that.
Thank you,
this is
June.
A safe space.
Yeah, this is a...
I feel like you guys... I don't know what to say to you. Because I am a huge bad movie fan, and I was part of Best Worst Movie and helped the Troll 2 guys get that movie done, and I'm in that doc, and I love crappy movies, and I'm a big Rotor and Troll 2, and, you know, I love these movies. This movie felt like, to me, a guy who, says he likes movies like that, maybe has seen a bunch of them, and then, like, I don't know, it's just sort of jugheaded. I just can't. I just can't do it.
Did you not like that the main villain was like an Elvis, Harry Hamlin? I couldn't get that out of my mind.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it's like nothing. The violence and
wow,
yeah,
you're like speechless.
I really am. I'll tell you what. The first third of the movie,
I was
completely like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to have a little bit of fun here, but it just could not carry. It did not carry for me.
You
it got
didn't
very
like
boring.
The sacrificing scene.
Oh, with the weird sort of like. Fish show, parking yes. lot, yes. orgy.
That scene to me was the most
the
insane thing
low budget
ever.
Matrix where, like, rave scene.
Well, and like, where some people were naked, some people weren't.
Well, only women were naked
sporadically.
And they were older women. I have a theory that they couldn't get a lot of people to be naked for that scene. Like, oh, you have to be naked. No. It was
no,
like
but you know what
it's
I
a
did,
bunch of older
well,
40-year-old women.
Was when Nick Cage was, when that waitress first approached him at the Roadhouse bar.
Yes.
And he was having sex with her while holding a bottle of Jack Daniels uh-huh. and a shotgun. She was sort of an age-appropriate actress, which yes. I thought was like, oh, wow, I'm surprised they did that. Like, she was blonde and big-boobed, but, like, she was also in her, well 40s. Into yes. her 40s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, right. I would say I appreciate the fact that Nick Cage had no sexual chemistry with that hot girl in the movie. Amber Heard, like it was never even alluded to that they could have sex.
No. Yep.
Which I think was good. I feel like Nick Cage.
She was a surrogate for his daughter.
Yeah.
It would have been inappropriate.
You say there you go.
She
right,
was
but there were some choices like the age appropriate waitress where it's like, oh, you guys held back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I was like, wow, why show restraint there and not in the rest of the movie?
You are giving so much to the fans
sure
of this movie.
Am.
She's like someone who gave the director a handjob in the parking lot. They're like,
amazing.
You got a part in the movie.
But now, meanwhile, he doesn't make out with Amber Heard, but he totally makes out with that girl from Eastbound and Down.
Well, they had, like, hand sex.
This movie posits the idea that anytime Nick Cage is in a shitty diner, a waitress hits on him
crazy.
To the degree of fucking him instantly.
Yeah.
That's, like, the crazy thing about this movie. It's like, okay, all the other characters are telling us this guy is has a ton of sex appeal.
Yeah.
But we're seeing Nick Cage... at his thinnest.
Yeah.
With that, like, ratty.
I mean, he looks terrible. It's like, how are we supposed to?
Yeah,
oh,
he looks
the other
like
thing
a rug
is,
salesman.
When William Fichtner is like, he's like, I'm looking for a man who's traveling, probably on foot, maybe 40. I was like, not
no,
maybe 40 at all.
No.
Maybe 55. maybe closing in on 60.
And this guy knows his name. The accountant, why is he going? Why is he being so vague?
Yes.
Why is he just going, yes. This guy's name's Milton.
Yes.
You know,
he has blonde hair.
Yeah. He's exactly what he talks like.
I wonder if it was in the script that he is that vague or if William Fichtner was like, hey, I have an idea. What if I just talk very measured and I'm just like, I'm looking for someone?
William Fichtner, by the way, was amazing. Like, he was like,
great.
He was
I liked
wonderful.
Him a lot.
Like, I feel like he was like Christopher Walken before Christopher Walken realized that he was Christopher Walken. Like, he was just awesome.
He was wonderful.
But, you know, the thing I'm most confused about is
everything.
Nick yes. Nick Cage escapes from hell.
How?
But how?
Over that bridge.
Over
that's
that
how.
Bridge.
Oh, in a hot rod.
But
yes,
then he, like, he ends up in, like, Texas, and he has to go to Florida. Like, why couldn't he just pop out of hell at the right? Like, is there like an area where you can only pop out of hell? Because
you are
end,
looking for reason and logic.
This is a road to nowhere.
This is
this is pointless. A fool's errand, Paul. Yeah.
And so Satan has muscle cars in hell that you could possibly steal.
Well, that is no duh.
But Satan
that's
is,
obvious. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
But according to this movie, Satan is just a really like. Low key businessman is like, oh, he's a warden. He's kind of put upon, like, oh.
Paul, I didn't do my homework thoroughly enough, and I feel kind of embarrassed. Is this based on a graphic novel or something?
According to my knowledge, no. This is a new idea, but
then it even just sank lower in my book. If it's not based on something, because they just introduce ideas like the God gun and stuff like, as if we're supposed to be like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
the
God gun.
The classic God gun from Drive Angry, the comic book
that I
love
bullets.
So much.
Yeah.
It's...
The God gun.
Nicolas Cage manages, before he escapes hell, to steal the God gun, which can only really... I mean, which affects people from hell?
No, okay. it kills everybody, but here's the thing.
Yes,
it kills anybody that you shoot it at, but it will kill a god.
Right.
But they only shoot regular people with it. He never shoots a god with
and,
it.
And, no, and on top of that, the gun, but here's the thing. The bad thing about the god gun is if it shoots you, you don't go to heaven or hell.
Right.
You just die.
Disappear. You cease to be.
Which brings me to the end of the movie, which is, was the guy, the leader of the cult, a bad, like, was he a devil or is he an angel? Because when he shot him, he flew up into the sky, and then the heavens sucked him up.
And there was a Christ kind of, he turned into a Christ kind of figure for a second.
He did go up, not down.
Not down. And everybody else that he shot with that God gun.
For those of you just tuning in, this is a theological discussion.
I will say this. I don't know what I mean to jump the gun on you, Paul.
No.
There was one cameo in this. We talked about it yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Did you on your list of things to talk about?
No, this is I just hit the Curtis. I said they make this character, this guy who's wearing this shirt with all the movie spoilers on it. It's like then they reveal like this guy. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't know who this is.
And that is Tom Atkins. And when I think I might have been the only one in the theater, like when the camera panned up and showed his face, I was like, oh my God. That was the only moment I was like, yes. He is
because he had quite a cinematic intro.
Yeah. That is for hardcore horror fans.
Sheriff.
Well, he's in a ton of classic horror movies, but my favorite being Night of the Creeps, where he plays the retired detective. I believe his name is Raymond in Night of the Creeps. If you guys have not seen Night of the Creeps, shame on you. Now that is a movie where you can say the question, how did it get made? And you just get a slap across the face. Such a good movie.
Well, I thought the actor was wonderful, though. I thought he was
great. He's great. He's in one of the Halloweens and Halloween 3. He's in a ton of stuff.
I want to point out the bad police work there, too, which is the police come to the hotel after Nicolas Cage has killed 12 different men, all with, not with traditional weapons, axes, hose, like a scythe or scythe. And now, meanwhile, they're like, oh, we got to get this Nick Cage character. They don't question the 12 people dead in his bedroom, all with weapons. I mean, that would be the bigger conspiracy.
Oh, everybody's doing. Everybody in this movie is terrible at their job. Everybody from waitresses to police to sheriffs to motel owners. Everybody in this movie is garbage at completing their job.
And sometimes switching on a dime too, like that short order cook who was like, "Hey."
Yeah. Jack McGee.
Jack McGee from The Fighter to Drive Angry, who's like, from the minute, he's like, you don't give out free muffins to poor people. And now I'm going to fuck you.
Yeah,
and like, it's like, what?
I push my dick into your butt.
When I get bored in a movie this quickly, I start to think about the actors and I start to think about their experience on set. And I just think about, like, he just kept repeatedly being called like a fat fuck.
Yeah.
And like a piece of shit. You fat fuck. You fat piece of shit. And I was just like, man, this guy must be like, yeah, I guess. That's where I'm at
that's
as an actor.
Yeah,
that's where I am. I'm the fat fuck. Oh. It's depressing to me.
Yeah, because even William Fichtner goes like, hey, fat fuck. It's like, really? I also, talking about William Fichtner's character, the accountant, he would always flip this coin up in the air. Now, I expected it to change, but every time it came down, it was always an FBI badge.
Yeah.
Which I was like,
well, it was
going
to turn into a weapon.
He was like, oh, it's your lucky day. And I was like, oh, because it turned into an FBI badge, not a gun. But no, it always turned into an FBI badge.
It made
badge.
No sense. It was it was pretend suspense.
Now, how would people, this is an honest question, what did people think they were getting out of this cult? Beyond, but I'm honest.
Well,
I think
they were bringing forth hell on earth, is what they say. That they're going to open up something and that they're going to bring about hell on earth.
But
right?
as we know, the real Satan hates babies being sacrificed
in
his name, according to the accountant. And this guy was not affiliated with hell at all. And he also didn't have a traditional, like, the devil sign for their group was kind of like an anarchy sign.
This dude is stabbed twice in the movie by the same necklace that he's wearing.
Yes.
And I'm like, hey, bro, the first time you get stabbed by your own necklace because it's sharp and full of points, like, get rid of it. Don't try and fight another woman who stabs you with a necklace again.
Not only was this guy stabbed twice, but his dick was apparently bitten off.
But it did not stop him from telling women he was going to rape them.
Yes. I was like, wait a minute. You're going to break her the same way, but with what? What is going on?
I love that before his henchman could answer the question, does this guy have a dick or not, he shot him.
Yes.
That's what we all know now.
Yes. Yeah.
Really classy for the bad guy, he carried around the femur of Nicolas Cage's daughter to remind, like, as a walking stick.
Yeah. There was a lot of knee violence in this movie. A lot of knees were being shot out.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
One of the more disturbing and questionable moments is Amber Heard, obviously a gorgeous woman, decides that
she's like, I agree with you, Paul. Like,
yes. Yeah.
She's like, busty. She's
really
butt has
really smart, too.
All of her sex parts are
poetry. More sexy Megan Fox.
She's sort of a next-level human being.
She goes to this bar with Nick Cage, and she's like, all right, you go to sleep. I'm going to go get fucked. And then immediately
by the doughiest,
she picks
like a professional wrestler.
Yeah, one of like the weirdest looking guy. Like he looks like a reject from Nacho Libre.
Yeah,
like and then we cut to their sex scene, and he's just painting her toenails.
Yeah. She's dressed. He's nude.
Yes.
And then he's painting her toenails, and then chaos erupts because she sees a shadow go by the outside of their motel. Like, oh God, somebody's out there. I better investigate. Investigate what? You are in a motel. There must be nonstop shadows outside your window.
A motel that was attached to a very popular bar.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a lot of foot traffic.
Oh God.
And it also, while he's doing that, Nicolas Cage is in the other room getting fucked, and we have a clip of that. That is one clip I was able to find. It's short.
Oh, baby. Why did you fuck naked?
I never disrobed before a gunfight.
And at which point, the door opens up, and a 10-minute montage.
That was an amazing scene. That scene was
he didn't stop
amazing.
Having sex with this woman while shooting and blowing everybody
yes.
away.
Nicolas Cage.
But you see, this is what I feel like, you guys, this is like what sold the movie. You want to know how this got made? A guy came in, railed on coke, whoever created this movie, went into a studio and goes, there's a fucking scene where this girl and then Nicolas Cage is sitting there and she's just fucking riding the shit out of him. He's like, I never disrobe before I get fucked. And then I just run and fuck out and then it's like, bang, 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 bang. It goes a fucking thing. And this guy's like, yes, man, yes.
I'd say yes to that.
Yes,
absolutely.
I greenlight your movie. I greenlight your movie. That's a movie I want to fucking see.
I will argue the talking was my problem. When the script, it did get slow when it was like, when the whole movie stopped after that 20-minute long like chase scene, and then it was like, okay, here's David Morris, and he's like, bad stuff, brother.
Well, my favorite scene of David Morris talking to Amber Heard in the garage while Nicolas Cage just stares stone-faced at a barrel on fire in the middle of a hot day. It's like, in the middle of a hot day, we're going to light a fire in this barrel, and he's just going to stare into it because...
Hey, do you mind if I just stare? How about this as an idea? I'm going to light a fire in this barrel over here, and I'll stare. What do you think about it?
David Morris comes up and goes, remind you of home?
Or
something like that.
It's not the flames that bother you so much. It's seeing your loved ones.
That was the craziest.
We finally get an insight on what hell is like, and Nick Cage is like, the flames don't bother him. But apparently there are view screens that you're forced to watch of your loved ones
it's
suffering.
Literally view. He says, it's the view screens. What? What do you mean it's the view? Don't say it's the view screens like that's a normal thing to imagine in hell.
First of all, hell looked like a city in this movie, like a flaming city.
It's supposed to be like a prison or something.
I mean, I want to get in there.
And he said that the devil was so, the account says the devil's very well read.
Yes. He read all the Harry Potters.
Yeah, I don't know what he means by that.
Well, you know what? There comes a time in every movie where you just have to sit back and think.
What the fuck?
That's right, it's time for our what the fuck moment. This is the one moment in the movie that we feel needs to really be discussed. I'm talking about the moments that make no sense, like moments like this.
I'm sorry, man, I got magic and I got poetry at my fingertips, and I'm, you know, at most of the time, and this is, you know, this includes naps. You know, I'm an F-18, bro, and I will destroy you in the air, and I will deploy my ordnance to the ground.
Things like that make no sense. I had to put a Charlie Sheen clip in here because he epitomizes a what the fuck moment. My what the fuck moment has to be, it's a small moment, but Amber Heard comes home to catch her boyfriend having sex with a woman because she cut him off from sex until they're engaged. But I guess then they were engaged.
Yeah, they were engaged at that point.
And then
when she says that it's been, and the girl asks her, how long has it been since you had sex? And she goes, 2 days. But 2 days is like a decade in horny fucker years.
Yeah, horny fucker years.
Yeah.
So she comes
home. It's true.
And they,
it is. That's true.
That's universal truth.
Yeah, I mean, we could all connect to that.
They come home. They have this crazy fight. He's like beating the shit out of
and
her.
He's like a clan member.
Yeah. He's a big, yeah. burly Klan member, and he's just beating
I wish this movie had been about her taste in men.
She did also get in that car with Nick Cage for, like, all right, done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And quick.
Yeah. And shoot cops really quick.
Yeah, she shot a cop.
Yeah, two.
Everything seems super cool to her. Yeah. She's like, I'll roll with whatever.
Yeah.
She was ready to grab a... I mean, she's moment mad. One, she grabs the fat fuck's dick, yep. squeezes it real hard,
yep.
and we know she's good because she gave pastries to poor people.
Yeah.
And
so that's her save the
we
cat.
That that's
her
scene.
Save
the cat. That
so she... So anyway, they get into this big fight. Nick Cage comes to her rescue and drops an air conditioner on her boyfriend's head. Two scenes later, that guy... has nearly a scratch on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fine.
At all. He is totally fine. An air conditioner dropped on this man's head. Yeah. And he's like, ah, oh, fucking bitch.
Like, yeah.
That to me was a...
Made no sense.
Made no sense whatsoever. But then just gave a good torture scene where William Fichtner broke a baseball bat and then crucified him to the wall.
Yeah.
Which was also... it was well done. Well done.
Pretty intense.
Pretty intense. Amazing.
Any other moments that call out to you guys?
My favorite part of this movie was when there's a car chase and William Fichtner is forced to drive off of a bridge, right? And the other guys get away. And then after they get away, they cut back. They cut back to William Fichtner's upside down, fell off a bridge, crushed police car that he was driving. And two stoners walk up to the car, right? The car is smoking, crushed. They smoke pot out of a bowl and are like, whoa, bro.
Immediately. Whoa. Before they dismount from the bicycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They immediately smoke pot like, whoa, bro. Can you believe this, bro? And it's like a scene from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or something. William Fichtner kicks the door off of his car in order to get out. The door smashes one of the stoners. Like, he flies back 10 feet, like, under, and the other guy's like, oh, my God. Like, and they have a conversation that is the stupidest thing in the world. And then William Fichtner's basically like, I know when you die. I'll see you when you're 73, and I'll see you in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And by the way, the costume design and just design of this movie was terrible. Like, one of those kids had on, like, John Lennon glasses. Oh, yeah. Like, really?
Yeah. It was as if they were like, let's get them from, like, a sketch comedy
exactly,
show about stoners.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
For me, and there's so many. I think we've covered pretty much all the moments that I was just sort of like, what are you talking about? But I will say the Casablanca-style ending of, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah.
they're going to, he's like, I'm gonna escape again. If you put me in that jail, I'm just gonna go back. And Fichtner's like, I'm kinda looking forward to that. You know, I'm gonna. Yeah.
In the second movie.
And then he lets Nick Cage drive.
Yeah.
And I tried so hard to find the song. How bad was that song over, like, where they're driving?
Wow.
It was like,
terrible.
I'm alive! Yeah. I'm alive! Oh,
God.
And I went all over last night trying
it's
to
like
find
it. It's like a song by Daughtry written for the U.S. military or something.
I was really confused by it. Right after the sex scene, when he's shooting people and still has a cigar in his mouth, fucking this girl, holding a box of Jack Daniel's.
She is coming.
She's into it.
The entire time.
At one point, she yells out toward the very end, don't be shy.
No.
Yes, she does. I heard her scream out, don't be shy.
You know that's just like 80-yard lines. They're just like,
don't be shy.
Just shout anything.
But then right after, when she's like crumbled up in a corner, she looks like she's been like...
traumatized.
So traumatized. It's like...
She goes... That she was shooting while fucking me.
Yes.
That's never happened to me before. Like, and then she looks at the guys and is like, has that happened to you before?
Let's get a shrink
here. That was the craziest monologue ever.
Amazing.
Well, she was so traumatized by the shooting while fucking that she moved out of the room next to a rack of like made towels at a hotel and sitting there naked for hours. Obviously, the cops have been there for a long time.
Terrible work, by the way.
Yeah.
They hadn't found her.
Yeah.
They hadn't found anything.
Well, that's because some of them were working as the devil worshippers as William Fichtner ripped off one of the cops' outfits. It's like, you're part of the devil worshipper.
Because sometimes he can smell stuff.
Loved how in most of the major like fight sequences, they would immediately, when chaos would start to break out, have a shot of the baby being whisked away.
Yes.
Like, to make sure we were all okay knowing that baby was safe.
Yeah.
Overall, too, the movie does try to hide the fact that he's from hell, even though the movie opens with a car escaping from hell, and then the next time you see it, it's pulling up in the real world, and it's Nick Cage is in it.
Well, everybody seems 100% okay with it. Even David Morse, who buried Nicolas Cage.
Yes, I carried you at your
funeral. And Nicolas Cage he literally goes, you heard what they did to my daughter? Then you know why I'm back. And David Morse is like, all right, I'm cool with that. I'm gonna choose to be cool with that. And then this person is literally from hell. And David Morse is like, all right, I got no more questions.
Right as rain.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to this Amber Heard girl while you stare at a barrel on fire.
And by the way, here's two more muscle cars. Pick which one you want.
I guess there wasn't as much driving angry as I thought there would be.
There was one giant scene of driving.
And she had a vanity plate. She had a vanity plate that said drive angry.
Which wasn't even around it.
It was a thing that said drive angry. It wasn't her car.
It was her boyfriend's car, right?
Boyfriend's car. And there was another bumper sticker on there that says, I break for pussy.
I thought that was funny. Yeah.
With no a picture of a cat. It was like just out there. It was like, I break for pussy.
Nicolas Cage just brought that to set.
I thought it would be really funny. Do you think this would be a good idea if we put this on the car?
Do you guys want to know? This is apparently the title of the movie was inspired by Groundhog Day, Bill Murray is driving with the groundhog and says, "Drive angry," and that was apparently the director's inspiration.
He says, "Don't drive angry."
Don't drive angry. Yeah. That was
the dude who pitched the movie high on coke, being like, "Hey! What if you did drive angry?" That's a movie.
Let me tell you about my favorite movie. It's called Groundhog Day. And there's a scene where the groundhog's driving the car.
Oh, my God.
Now, June, you wanted to do something here today? You wanted to do a little reenactment?
Yes. One of my favorite scenes from this movie was when – I'll just set it up a little bit, and then, Paul, maybe you could play Nick Cage.
Okay. I forget exactly the line again, but I'm going to try.
And I'll play Amber Heard. It's when Amber Heard – when Nick Cage has already been shot in the eyeball, and then he appears. Scene begins. Melvin, I don't understand. You were shot 2 seconds ago. What happened to your eye? Melvin, I don't understand this.
I'll tell you about it later.
Scene.
Wow.
Yeah.
First of all, good job. Okay. Well done.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it later.
She also seems like he's shot repeatedly in the movie, then fixes himself.
Yes.
Why? Who knows why? But then she's like, all right, I'm going to keep going with this. I will keep getting in the car with you to go nowhere and to get nothing for myself.
Which, first of all,
she has no arc. She has no point.
She has no journey. She has no, like, goal.
I think her objective overall, if I was playing this character, would just be to live. We have to keep on living.
At any point she's not in the car with Nicolas Cage or with Nicolas Cage, she has a better chance of doing it.
Yes. I feel like she was on a mission. Her goal was to fuck men up because her boyfriend...
She wanted to humiliate men. That's why she had that doughy, like, reservation kid painting her toenails and stuff like that.
All right, well, now let's talk about a bit... We've been talking about this now a couple times in a row. We do a little game here where this movie just came out this weekend, so the weekend box office just came in.
Oof.
So now,
what are our numbers?
Okay, well, does anyone want to guess how big the budget was for this movie, first of all?
I'll take a guess.
Okay.
$45 million.
$45 million.
Holy cow.
Hold on. No,
okay. I thought it was right. I'm so very excited.
I think it's higher. I'm going to say like $80 million.
Okay.
I'm going to say because I would guess 45 at 2D, but I'm going... 3D.
Yep.
3D, I'm going to 100.
Oh, my God.
$85 million. Wow. Now, this is actually really interesting. I want to put this in perspective.
Thanks, Doug.
It's in 2,290 theaters, which is the same amount of theaters that Hall Pass is in, which is just to give you an idea. Drive Angry made a total of this weekend. Anyone want to take a guess?
Well, I know Hall Pass did really bad.
Okay. I will say that Hall Pass came in.
Hall Pass was a number one.
Number one.
So, at what?
All right, so Hall Pass came in number one at $13.5 million.
Oof,
so
oof.
The question now is, where did Drive Angry come in?
Drive Angry, I'm going to guess, came in at 4.
Okay.
I'll say 4.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10.
It is number 9.
What?
Number 9 at $5 million. Ooh. It made $1 million on Friday night.
What?
$2 million on Saturday night.
That's like
a
big 3D movie. I would think that people would go to it for that reason.
What was in three-dimensional? I just remember organ bits coming out.
Oh, yeah, like bullets and
the lowest 3D opening ever.
Good.
He needs to do... I mean, I just think it's like... you know, at a certain point you get burned by a guy.
Yes.
And even though you love him, like he's a Christopher Walken part two or something, Nick Cage, you like love him. I love him.
I think he's amazing.
But you cannot keep doing the same low shit
and expect
that people are going to keep coming back.
You're wrong. Season of the Witch.
Shame on you.
Maybe.
You just can't.
Get out.
Do a good movie.
I was going to put this clip at the end, but I think maybe now it's a good chance to understand why Nick Cage did this movie.
I also read that one of the appealing facets of you was the chance to get your eye shot out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that's about. I know on Season of the Witch, which is a movie that I'm also very excited about, I tried to get the producers to shoot my eye out with a bow and arrow, but they didn't want to do that. So when Patrick, why wouldn't they want to do that? I just still to this day can't understand. But in the first 10 minutes of my meeting with Patrick, he volunteered that my eye would be blown out with a gun. And I went, I'm in. It might have something to do with some sort of ancient Wotanic philosophy.
So deep.
9 days on the Yggdrasil.
That is the he took the movie because he gets his eye shot out.
Now we know how to get Nick Cage to be in our movie. We have a pitch.
Well, now we've asked you guys, you know, obviously Nick Cage's career is a little bit in free fall. We went to you guys. It's time for some viewer mail.
You've got mail.
Last week I asked you guys to email us at howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com for a little Nick Cage Mad Libs, where you'd pitch us the premise and the title of a Nick Cage movie. So we're going to go around and read some of our favorite ones. I'll start off. This one's from Robert Pennick. Nick Cage is Hitler and is challenged to a drinking contest by Winston Churchill. Now he must hold his liquor or surrender the concentration camps in... Alcoholicost.
Oh, God.
Anyone else have
a... Nick Cage is a supermarket manager whose store is attacked by demons. Now he must fight them off before the store opens at 7 a.m. in Cleanup on Aisle 666.
Nice. I've got from Katie, Nick Cage is an artist who fights crime in a van in an effort to save the muse who inspires him in Artistic License.
Okay. This is from Joel Dudley Stapley.
Why'd you say that so critically?
I've got his
notes.
Name, Jason.
I've got notes for you, Joel. No.
You have notes on his name?
Yes, because Dudley is in quotes. Joel Dudley Stapley.
Could be Stapley for all you know.
Stapley, yeah. Nick Cage is a millionaire who is haunted by ghost ninjas. Now he must return the mystical artifact before they murder one of his three much younger girlfriends in Sorry Ninjas, No Can Foo.
I got this one. Nick Cage is a transvestite who is hired by terrorists. Now he must find love in Texas before he makes the worst mistake of his life in Pre-op Co-op.
Oh, God.
Any other ones? Anyone?
Nicolas Cage is an elementary school teacher whose student science project stumbles upon an alternative fuel made from used baby diapers. Now he must chaperone 22 8-year-olds to Washington, D.C. to present their findings before Congress before his own wife gives birth to their first child back home in diaper duties.
All these movies, I feel like, could be Nicolas Cage movies.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
definitely.
These are all pretty good.
If not Adam Sandler movies.
I would be remiss if we did not talk about the one scene that I like the most, which is Nick Cage in the middle of the movie goes, I only drink a beer out of a man's skull.
Out of Jonah King's skull.
Oh, Jonah King's skull. Yeah. And at the end of the movie, he drinks beer out of a skull, and it's swishing out of the eye ball holes. Because when he killed him with the gog gun... The skull did land on the ground, perfectly cleaned out, and perfect for drinking beer out of.
Yes.
The minute he shot him with that gun and they showed that skull landing, I was like, oh, that's going to be great.
30 minutes into the movie when he said, I want to drink beer out of his skull, I was like, well, we're definitely going to see that, right?
Might I point out this one thing here, that the best acting in the movie... By far. And the best filmmaking of the entire film was by a woman who I don't think had any lines.
Yes, the woman who's holding the baby.
The woman who's holding the baby.
Yes. I thought it was Michaela Watkins for like half of the movie.
Her arc is the best thing in the movie. The actual actual quality was like her emotional turn throughout the course of the movie. And everything else was flotsam.
Because you didn't know. Was she going to kill the baby? Was she not going to kill the baby?
Yeah, and she also, like, you saw her have real, like, reservations.
Yes.
You saw her
I went through it with her.
Yeah. She was acting. She was really acting. So that is the best performance of the film.
Do you think she was paid as an extra? But she had no lines.
She did not
speak once.
I think she was paid in methamphetamine, like everybody else in that movie.
Well, that brings us to the end of episode 5. Special guest, Curtis Gwynn, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And if you are a fan of these movies, it's Best Worst Movie, which is awesome.
Yeah, Michael Paul Stevenson, a great director, kid from Troll 2, grew up to make a documentary about being in Troll 2. Check out Best Worst Movie. It's a plug for Michael. He's a great guy.
And it's such a great movie. You can follow Curtis Gwynn on Twitter at Curtis Gwynn. You can follow me at Paul Scheer and at Miss June Diane. You can't follow Jason, but just follow Ice-T's wife at Coco's World instead.
that's what I'm promoting? Yeah. Yes. I would like to plug that.
And join us next week. Next Monday night at midnight, we'll announce our next movie. In the meantime, you can visit our Facebook page and search How Did This Get Made or leave comments for us at the Earwolf page. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.